Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us in this second hour. And as I said a moment ago, we're going to talk transportation. Now, the reason I say transportation versus roads and bridges and so on, I'll get into that in a moment. But if you would like to call in and talk about anything transportation related, things that you've read, things that you know about, things you'd like to share with other listeners, things you'd like to make other people aware of, lines are open, 303-477-5600. I guess I'm going to throw a question out there as well, which I haven't done for a while, but you know, we got a half an hour before Richard joins us, and even he could chime in on this, I should say. But I'd like to ask the question, how do you fix the transportation needs of Colorado? You know, what is our biggest need, and how do you solve that? Because I'll be the first to admit there's a lot of issues when it comes to transportation in the state of Colorado, because you can't just look at the Denver metro area and say we need X. I mean, you've got to look at Denver. You've got to look at Fort Collins. You've got to look at Colorado Springs, even Pueblo now. You've got to start looking at the I-70 corridor heading west. You've got to look at 285 heading down south through the mountains. I mean, we've got a lot of other areas in the state that we have to be, you know, aware of and mindful of. And if you were a politician in the state of Colorado, you would have to do the same. You can't just focus on one particular area. Now, I realize that part of politics is representing your constituents. So if you're somebody that's representing the Denver metro area, of course, you're going to focus on the metro area. If you're somebody from the Western Slope, you're going to focus on that. If you're somebody that's in the, you know, Summit County area, you're going to focus on I-70 going up through the, you know, Eisenhower Tunnel in the pass and so on. If you're somebody from Grand County, you're going to look at, you know, Berthoud Pass and some of what's happening there. So again, I understand that as a politician, you're going to look at your own area. What got me going on this is a 9 News article today that headlines, State Approves $238 million in Transportation Projects. And keep in mind the key word there, transportation projects. $89 million in the Denver metro area. Now, I also want to make sure everybody understands that while $238 million and $89 million spent in Denver seems like a lot of money, when it comes to this particular topic, it's not. I'm sorry, folks, it's not. And the reason I say that is, I'm looking up really quick. I should have done this earlier. I used to know off the top of my head. I think it's around, yeah, so real quick, just so you all understand why that's not a big number. Constructing a new four-lane highway. This does not account for land acquisition and everything else that comes into play. This is just normal, run-of-the-mill, regular, you know, putting in a road once everything in that end of it is already done. And this is in rural and suburban areas. I'll give you the number for urban areas in a moment. It's $4 to $6 million a mile in rural areas. It's $8 to $10 million per mile in urban areas. If you do a new six-lane highway, it's around $7 to $11 for rural areas, and it'll be close to $20 million a mile a mile for urban areas. So, folks, if we're dedicating $89 million in the metro area, you can pretty much figure for yourself how much of that's going to get spent on roads, new roads. None is the answer. Zero, zilch, nada. And some of you are saying, well, John, how do you know that? Because, again, you can do the math, folks. When we're talking, especially in today's world, you're going to be $8 million minimum per lane mile. So what's $89 million get you? What, Charlie, 10 miles roughly? 11 miles? That's nothing, folks. That's peanuts. You're not getting any new roads for that. So last week, the Colorado Transportation Commission approved $238 million in funding for critical transportation projects statewide, including more than $89 million for the Denver metro area. The $238 million is upfront funding included in Senate Bill 260, which POLIS signed into law last month. The transportation funding bill is expected to raise about $5.4 billion over the next 10 years. Again, folks, not trying to sound, you know, negative here, but even $5.4 billion when it comes to new roads and doing what we need to do as a state and getting things handled transportation-wise, lane mile-wise, if you would, $5.4 billion doesn't cut it. CDOT's budget, by the way, is about $1.4 billion roughly a year annually, and that's maintenance. That doesn't include much in the way of new roads and so on. That's just handling, you know, the mowing of the grass, the trash pickup, the sweeping of the roads themselves, the plowing, ice control, and so on that we do across the state. And that's just on the big highways. That doesn't include all of the side roads and so on. We've talked about that in the past. That's pothole, you know, repairing and, you know, small bridge repairs and things along those lines. $1.4 billion or so. Now, I will also tell you, is all of that spent correctly? Of course not. There's lots of ways to probably come back in and cut back and do things differently and get more money to the different areas. I'm just giving you an example of $5.4 billion over 10 years, what that actually does. Nothing. Well, unless you're looking at it like a liberal, that money will go other places. Quote, Colorado's historic transportation legislation is shifting into high gear with $238 million in funding going towards fixing our roads, helping our economy, and delivering needed improvements to our infrastructure. This new bipartisan law is beginning to take hold, improving transportation for every Coloradan. This is POLIS, by the way, saying this. Officials say the funding will be used to address three core priorities. Fixing assets, providing more multimodal. That's the key here, by the way, folks. Providing more multimodal options and improving safety and vitality of main streets. I just gave you the math. It might fix a few assets, fix a few potholes here and here, you know, here and there, you know, put a top coat on some areas of pavement and so on. It will, guaranteed, provide more multimodal options. That one I can guarantee you of. They will waste money on walking paths, bike paths, dedicating certain lanes to a bike path. Yeah, all that crap will happen. Guaranteed, that's going to happen. In fact, I would go as far as to say the majority of the $89 million in this Denver area will go towards that. The other, what, roughly, the $238 million minus the $89 million, I'd have to do the math real quick in my head, but that remaining 100 and whatever it is, 50, what is it, 140 million or so, Charlie? I'd do the math real quick. 238 minus 89 million, 238 minus 89, 100, yeah, I was close, 150 I said, so that's 149, so I was right there. That other 150 million across the rest of the state, again, I guarantee you the majority of that will go towards multimodal, or it'll go to things like this. If any of you have driven to some of our mountain towns or even parts of the metro area now, it'll go towards roundabouts, speed bumps, traffic control, quote unquote, putting medians in places to where it's, you know, it automatically slows traffic down in certain areas. And by the way, I'm not against any of those if we had everything else in the state taken care of. But given the fact that you can't drive up I-70 on a Friday night or Saturday or Sunday for that matter, either direction, without having a big long wait or hopping in the HOV lane for $7 to $11 a trip. We've got big problems in Colorado, and this is not addressing it, is my point. The Democrats, the left, are going to tell you this is a great win. It's not. It's a great win for them, and they'll get some of this multimodal done, but it's not a win for you as a taxpayer in Colorado, not even close. You're really, at the end of the day, we are not going to get anything out of this. None. And I would challenge Governor Polis or anybody that's on that side to call in and tell me a specific thing we're going to get, even in this metro area, that moves more cars. Or that makes your drive during rush hour easier. Not going to happen, folks. And the reason I know that is, A, I know how they function, and B, I can look at the dollar amount that we're collecting and going to spend on these things and tell you that it's not going to happen. It's not enough money. Folks, we need billions of dollars to fix the infrastructure in Colorado when it comes to roads, bridges, and so on. Not millions. Billions with a B, not millions with an M. And 5.4 over 10 years, knowing what inflation and everything else is going to do, it doesn't even maintain. It's a drop in the bucket. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but when it comes to infrastructure and building roads and highways and bridges and so on, it's peanuts. It's nothing. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. Speaking of your car, speaking of driving, speaking of going from A to B, that's where Extreme comes into play. They'll take care of your vehicle, make sure you get from A to B, and do it and make it happen for you and save you money at the same time. We talked about that with Sean the other day. You know, they may not be the cheapest place in town, but they're the most honest, and they'll tell you exactly what your vehicle needs and give you the option of what you want to do at that point in time. Go to klzradio.com, fill out the Extreme form, and get free wiper blades or a tire rotation. You can also call and make an appointment direct at 303-841-1071.
Longevity counts for mechanical repairs. The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair have an average of almost 13 years' experience per technician. So at this point, almost nothing surprises them. After so many combined years on the job, they've seen just about every weird problem your vehicle could have. Even in those rare cases where they really have to dig, they don't give up until they find a solution. John Rush has been recommending Extreme Auto Repair on Rush to Reason for nearly 6 years now, so he's seen their persistence firsthand. They have a reputation for solving problems no one else could. Make Extreme Auto Repair your last mechanic. Long-time radio supporters, long-term techs, repeat customers. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/extreme for your free windshield wipers or tire rotation. Extreme Auto Repair, promises kept.
All right, folks, up next, Franktown Firearms. You heard them today from 2 to 2:30 for Shooting the Breeze. They do that on Saturdays as well. But Franktown Firearms, great supporter, not just of KLZ and what we're doing here, but really of our Second Amendment and of you. And if you don't believe me, go walk in, check it out, find out what kind of inventory they've got, find the training they have, see what's right for you, get your kids involved as well, male or female, doesn't matter. They want to help everybody learn what guns do, how they work, how they function, and how they can be used in the right ways. Not the wrong ways, but the right ways. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal, to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Your money matters with Kurt Rogers of Affordable Interest Mortgage.
The first-time home buyer actually has some great tools to be able to do a purchase, but where you run into trouble is because of the appraisal gap. The average sale of a home is going for $50,000 above the asking price. So if the house appraises for $550,000 but you pay $600,000 for it, you have to come up with the other $50,000. There are ways to get around that, but it's very tough to do.
Listen Tuesday at noon only on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Craig in Wheat Ridge, what's going on?
Hey, John.
How are you, sir?
All right. This is a hot button topic with me.
You and I both.
I do a lot of driving, as do you.
Yep.
And when you see things don't get repaired and don't get maintained, it's like, well, there went our tax dollars, you know, down the drain. I think part of the problem in the state of Colorado has been the planning. It seems like, you know, the T-Rex project was designed to open up the I-25 corridor.
Right.
And it did, but when it was completed, we had enough more people move in here that the congestion at times can be just as bad as it was prior to the T-Rex
Correct.
Project. It's like the planning is always playing catch-up. Instead of planning ahead, they're just planning to play catch-up. And then once it's completed, it's almost outgrown.
Yeah, the same thing will happen along I-70 once that project's done. You know that as well as I.
Oh, and okay, I-70, I'm glad you said that. Now, it has helped immensely where it's widened out and where it's completed. Now, this whole idea of putting this underpass, tunnel, whatever you want to call it, they could have left it at ground level. It would have been perfectly fine and at much less cost.
And it would have flowed traffic better, because the minute somebody sees that tunnel, they slow down because they're just dopes. I don't know how to say it, Craig.
And they're not getting any better.
No, it's worse.
It's like, you know, these people have been through this tunnel at least once.
I don't know why, because they see an enclosure, they feel like they've got to slow down and change their driving habit. I don't get it.
And then there's been a lot of exits, at least from the westbound side coming into it. Not every day, but quite often there's been accidents right there because they've designed this merge point. I think it comes off of Colorado Boulevard.
Yeah.
That merges right at the tunnel. Now, why would you put a merge point going into a tunnel?
They should. That one shouldn't even be there right now. It ought to just, until that is completed, it should be shut off as far as I'm concerned, Craig.
Yeah.
Kill it. I mean, they've shut other exits and entrances off through this particular project. Shut that one off for now. I agree with you because you are 100% correct in what you just said.
Well, it's just common sense. It's almost like they say highway designing is like fluid dynamics.
Yep.
Where you constrict something, it's going to slow down. Where you widen it, it's going to open up.
That's right.
And speed up.
That's right.
And right there, you're forcing things into a narrower place.
Even though the lanes don't change, the width doesn't change, nothing there is any different. It just naturally changes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, it'll when it's done, it's going to help, and so I assume so will the I-25, you know, between Castle Rock and the Springs. But I'm afraid that, you know, some of our projects are going to have to come from private funding from toll roads. Look at E-470.
Most likely.
That wouldn't exist if it weren't for, you know, a company willing to step forward and say, hey, you know, we'll build it, but we get the toll money off of it.
Yep. Craig, you are... You're correct in all of that. You may or may not have seen this. I was actually, I don't know, I wasn't surprised, but I kind of am, because you'd have thought they would have had more foresight, but they were planning, you know, they did the eastbound lanes this past weekend as far as the repaving and everything that they did. And by the way, it's nice. It looks great. It's wide open. You're kind of now getting to see kind of a vision of what it'll be like if you're going all the way to the airport on the toll side. You know, it will make everything a lot easier when that's all said and done. But now the west side, they were originally going to do, I believe, this next weekend. Well, guess what? They can't now. They've got to delay that side of the project because of the shortage of oil when it comes to asphalt in our area and getting the asphalt made to actually do the project. Now, Craig, when you've got a $1 billion project at your fingertips and you know you need one particular resource, oil and asphalt, why didn't you plan ahead on some of that?
Yeah, I heard that same thing this morning, same thing that you heard.
I don't get it. No. I mean, you've known for X amount of time, the last 5 years or longer, that you're going to be doing this project. And we have in this state the ability to store and do things and so on. Why didn't CDOT do that ahead of time? Why are they behind the gun now?
I don't know. And on another subject, if I have a couple minutes.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Mile High Nationals was this weekend.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed, Camping World has now sponsored the NHRA season.
Correct.
Coca-Cola, for quite a few years, has been the primary sponsor of NHRA, using different brands that they carry.
Right.
Powerade,
Monster,
Coca-Cola,
all that kind of stuff.
Mellow Yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Coca-Cola, I understand, is being sued by NHRA right now because NHRA was due a payment on that contract. Coca-Cola pulled their sponsorship out from under NHRA, saying that due to COVID problems, they couldn't afford to do it anymore.
Hmm.
So they were kind of left hanging without a sponsor, and this Marcus Lemonis, the guy that's on that show, The Prophet, he owns Camping World, he tweeted to NHRA, hey, I sponsor NASCAR, I'll sponsor you guys. So, you know, lo and behold, Camping World is now the sponsor. But, you know, since you're kind of a business coach, I mean, look at Coca-Cola. They, after the voting laws that were changed in Georgia, they encouraged MLB, Major League Baseball, to pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta and move it to Denver. So they caused, you know, an economic hardship on Atlanta. At least,
right.
You know, they didn't get that money from the All-Star
right.
game.
Right.
And that's based on some CEOs at Coca-Cola saying, you know, well, you know, this is, these laws are racist and, you know, the whole
right.
agenda they're trying to push. Then they, in turn, renege on a contract with NHRA and are trying to cry poverty because of COVID, using COVID as an excuse, as a lot of businesses were affected by COVID. I doubt very much that Coca-Cola was sponsored by the COVID restrictions.
No, in fact, I've been watching, you know, I actually mentioned that on air before when it comes to Coke and Pepsi and, you know, the up and down of the stock and so on. And yet, you know, bottom line, no, they all did actually fairly well through COVID, given the fact that people stayed home and didn't do anything. Drank Coke, drank Pepsi, you know, ate junk food.
So, you know, Coca-Cola is not endearing, you know, themselves to anybody if they really watch what Coke is doing. Their whole business practice right now is pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I myself, I won't buy any of their product. I mean, you know, what little impact one person, but, you know.
Right. It all matters.
You know, you can do as you please, but it was kind of, I guess I had not paid attention and saw that Camping World was now the sponsor of the NHRA.
And by the way, good for them. You know, good for them. Now, the only thing I'm going to say through all of that, Craig, is I really wish NHRA would have handled things much different even through the series this last year, you know, than they did. I mean, I think there were some things they could have done even through COVID differently than what they did, and they buckled to some of the peer pressure, if you would, of some of these companies that, frankly, they should have just said, pound sand, we're going to do it our way. They didn't.
Well, I think when it came to Bannermere was involved in litigation with
Jeffco.
Jefferson County Health Department. So, you know, they were already in litigation with them, and to go ahead and host the event would have, you know, probably been thumbing their nose at the health department, which in turn may have caused them, you know, more.
Yeah, and NHRA itself probably wouldn't have. I mean, that particular event, by the way, for everybody that maybe does or doesn't understand that, that's really a situation where Bannermere rents the entire track out to NHRA. They come in, do their thing. So that really would have been more of an NHRA decision, Craig, not a Bannermere decision.
Yeah.
And NHRA wasn't going to fight the county. They're not going to do that. They're not going down that path.
You know, to their credit, the venue there in Morrison is really popular with the teams and drivers, and
yep.
I watched a little bit of the coverage on TV yesterday, and to a man, every driver said they were really happy to be back at Bannermere. They love the facility.
Nice.
They love racing there, even though it makes it tough due to the altitude and the heat.
Yep.
But they acknowledged that they were glad to be back.
Good.
So I hope that makes
good.
You know, the Bannermere family happy as well.
That's awesome. Craig, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the phone call. Ken in Denver, real quick before we take a break, I'll let you talk about Cuba. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, John. I had two friends that lived just north of Havana, Cuba.
Okay.
They were both killed.
Hmm.
shot in the back like criminals.
Wow.
And Lupi, who was Angelo's wife, she had a one of those Wi-Fi phones. She called me and told me what happened. They had a military truck pull up in front of their little house. And they just threw the bodies on the ground.
Wow.
Miguelito Carrera and Angelo Domingo.
Wow.
Both killed.
Yeah, and no I assume, reason, Ken, just recently, just within the last week or so, I assume.
Right.
Yeah, that's tragic, Ken.
It was 3 days before Lupi knew what happened to her husband.
Any idea why that happened? Were they involved in protests? Was there anything going on like that? What was the government's excuse, I guess, is what I'm asking?
The government doesn't make any excuses. If they don't like what you're doing or where you're at, they just shoot you.
Good point. That's what communism does.
These two guys, they had a small job between them both, just north of Havana. So they were on their way home. They just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time when they were both killed. Yep. Now I've got two women with no husband and 8 children with no father.
Jeez. Sad. It's tragic, Ken. It's tragic.
Yes, it sure is.
They really are.
I've known these guys for 15 years, and now they're gone.
That's awful, Ken. Heart goes out to not only you but their families. That's just tragic. It's awful. That's the kind of stuff, Ken, as you know, we're trying to keep from happening here. And I tell you what, it's an uphill battle anymore.
Right.
Really is. For some reason, we've got young people that think what goes on in Cuba is fabulous.
All I can say to those people who want to join the Communist Party, that's what you've got to look forward
yep.
to.
That's right. That's right, Ken. Ken, my heart goes out to you, man. Keep the faith. Tell them we're thinking of them as well, praying for them. And you know what? I don't know what to say, Ken. I'm speechless. I have no words.
Well, thank you.
Thank you,
and
Ken.
God bless you, John.
God bless you too, Ken. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We'll come right back, guys. Don't go anywhere. That was a sobering call, by the way, and heart goes out to those individuals. It shows you what communism really is all about, folks. This is serious, serious stuff. Roof Max is next. What's also serious is how good is your roof? We learned even on Fix It Radio this last weekend, Dennis brought a special guest in, a family member of his who's an appraiser, and talked about your roof and how that has a major impact upon your appraisal price of your house, whether you're refining, buying a house, selling a house, whatever the case may be. So it's not something you should just forget about because it does carry a lot of weight. Get that free roof inspection today. Call Dave. It's 303-710-6916 and find out if he can rejuvenate your roof, make it last another 5, 10, 15 years longer. He'll come out to exactly what you need. It's really that simple. 303-710-6916.
RoofMax is the fountain of youth for your roof. 90% of roofs replaced nationwide no longer need to be replaced, which would drastically reduce the materials in the landfills and resources from our planet to manufacture new shingles. By keeping your shingles in like-new condition, RoofMax is seeing on a national level a huge increase in protection against hail and wind damage. Most shingles these days are only getting 6 to 8 years of life before they start to dry out, lose the protective granules, and experience thermal cracking. With the RoofMax treatment, you can get a lot more life out of your roof. In most cases, RoofMax will add 15 years or more, saving you thousands of dollars and drastically reducing the number of insurance claims, which helps everyone keep insurance premium costs down. Call today at 303-710-6916 to schedule your free roof assessment. And be sure to mention you heard about them on KLZ to receive $100 off your RoofMax treatment.
All right, affordable interest mortgage is next. Kurt's going to join us in about a half an hour for our Monday Mortgage Minute. We'll talk about rates, what's going on there. But if you got any questions when it comes to your current mortgage, whether you can save money, if you're looking to buy a different home, you're looking to add a rental property, whatever it is, Kurt can help you with it. It's a simple phone call, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. lower your payment, and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take aim, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Richard Petey with KLZ Radio. You are a mentor, a father, a pastor, and a friend. People look to you for answers when they struggle online. We'll send you free resources to improve your serve. Fill out the form KLZRadio/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard Rush joining us now as well. Richard, give us an update of, you know, sports that happened over the weekend, including what the knuckleheads at the NFL and what they're doing.
Yeah, so first off, they've changed, let's start with golf, right? It was the Open this past weekend, which is the British Open, although it's referred to as the Open now, right? Because the old Brits. Anyway, it's interesting, right? Because you get to watch TV and you get to watch golf, but then you're done by noon, right? For those that can sit and watch, you know,
right,
5-6 hours worth of golf, right? And so Colin Morikawa, a young American golfer, won. He's kind of not necessarily the new Tiger Woods dad, but him and Tiger are, you know, basically the first, I think, to win both the Masters and the Open before they are, I think, 21 or 22, something like that. So he's really kind of on a pretty high trajectory, which is really cool for him in an exciting time. So that was fun. Obviously, you've got the NBA Finals, although there's not quite record low viewership. That was accomplished last year during the pandemic. And now it's kind of a different story in that people just aren't watching, I think, because they really don't want to, right? I think the NBA has turned off a lot of fans, which brings you to the point of like you were talking about, which is the NFL has now made a decision, or at least it's in discussion. Some media outlets are reporting that it's a done deal. I think that maybe this is a leak, similar to a Biden leak, right? A leak to see what the reaction from the crowd is.
Right.
And basically they have leaked the idea that they're going to play the Black National Anthem prior to the start of all NFL games. But then there's also some reporting out there that it may not be before the start of all NFL games. It may only be before the start of some of the significant games, which I'm not necessarily sure that makes any difference. But just kind of, I think they're just trying to gain people's reaction. And here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the Black National Anthem and what African-American folks went through, obviously, with slavery and such that. I think what people are talking about and what are fed up with is the social issues, right?
Right.
We don't want the social justice nonsense. We don't want these initiatives to be brought into sports. You and I have talked about many times how when we turn on a sporting event or a TV show, for that matter, or movies, right? We talk about this all the time as well. We want to be entertained. We don't want to worry about these other things. And I get that athletes have different causes, right? I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't, because I think there's a lot of good that people in power can do, right? You know, they can use their name and their image to promote different things. For example, depending on where you stand, there was a singer who's kind of gotten famous off of TikTok and such, Olivia Rodrigo, who the Biden administration brought in to try and get people to get young people to embrace the vaccinations, right? That's her prerogative. But here's the deal. She's not using it at a concert. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Now, she might, and if she does, I'm going to have criticism there. But for example, if LeBron James, we talk about him quite often, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to go, or Colin Kaepernick, they want to go after the fact, right? You know, on the off season or whatever it is, and promote, you know, again, you were just talking about Cuba and how awful of a place, you know, that is and what communism can do.
Right.
And he wants to go promote Fidel Castro, right? Then, you know what? He should be able to do that. It's a free country. He's able to do whatever he wants to. And I can't stop him. However, when it comes to an NFL event, NFL-sponsored thing, you know, wearing a shirt or appearing on behalf of the NFL or your team in any way, I don't think they should. And I just think it's smart business for teams and owners and players. And really, the players should understand that. I know that they want to advance causes, but I'll be honest, Dad. A lot of times players, well, they act like employees, right? And you know this. Typically, employees think 5 minutes in front of their face, right? Whereas owners think 5 years down the line as far as how, you know, they think long-term rather than the short-term is what we're saying. And they know long, you know, short-term, it may feel good. It may make everyone feel better about themselves and feel like we've made an impact. When in reality, you've turned off potentially a family or several families or lots of fans, you know, to the idea because they want to sit. And it's not because they don't care about people, although that's what everyone will try to convince you of, right? It's just that they want to sit down and watch a sporting event and be entertained by it. And here's the and here people talk about, well, will we play the national anthem, you know, prior to the games. And I'm not sure. I know that there's some discrepancy of where it got started and where the national anthem, you know, playing before events got started, Dad. My feeling is this. I feel like, you know what, it's America, doggone it. And you have the freedom to be able to play this game for a living and make a lot of money because of America. Yeah, they get to do it in Europe and everywhere and other places too. So if they want to play their national anthems, great.
Which they
so
do typically.
But you know what? A lot, well, especially in the Olympics and stuff, right? If you win in the Olympics, you play your country's national anthem.
Right.
Right. And here we're just saying, you know, basically it's kind of one of those things that kicks it off. And I'll be honest, the NFL has, you know, made it in, you know, capitalism at its finest, right, to where the Department of Defense paid them good money to get people, you know, to be able to do flyovers and all sorts of stuff. And I think, again, if that attracts more people to the military, then great. But regardless, I think we live in America, so you should be able to do that. And has America had bad things? Have we done bad things instead of slavery and all that? The answer is yes. However, have we done great things, and are we still the greatest country in the world? I would absolutely argue yes, we are.
Yes.
Look at Cuba. Right?
Yeah,
look at
point.
What it could be. And the fact that you have our president who can't come out and says, you know, he says, well, communism, you know, that's no good. But socialism, well, that's for another conversation. No, it's not.
No, exactly.
Communism starts with socialism.
Yeah, it's just a small stepping stone away. They're basically synonymous with one another. One's just the beginning of the other. That's all.
Correct. So, again, all that to say, I think that the NFL just needs to look and say, okay, what really matters to us? And at the end of the day, it should be the bottom line. And are we hurting or are we helping ourselves doing this? And I think they're going to find that they are hurting themselves more than they are helping. So,
well, and I think even Roger Goodell needs to be careful with some of his own words that he chooses. I mean, I get what he's trying to do and I understand it, but he had a quote where he says, without black players, there would be no National Football League, and the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. First of all, his first part of the statement, without black players, that would be like saying without white players, you wouldn't have the NFL. The reality is, no, if there weren't black players, you would backfill. You may not have as good a talent. You may not have as fast. You may not have the type of game you have today. But would the game go on? Absolutely positively it would. That's like saying without Canadian hockey players, the NHL wouldn't work. I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, to be honest with you.
Well, and like you say, the talent would be different, right? And
right.
It would look different, but the leagues would still go on.
It would still exist,
and the leagues
though.
Have proven, correct. And people would still pay to watch it. Now, again, depending on you not pay as much, whatever it might be. I just, again, I think that Goodell, let's be honest with that. If that's the case, then if he says you don't have white players, well, then you're not going to have some of your top quarterbacks or some of your top offensive linemen, positions traditionally dominated by white players.
Right.
Right. And so if we really want to get into black, which again, I get it. And I get it matters. But at the same time, if you ask a lot of these black players, at the end of the day, they're worried about their jobs. Right, Dad? You know, they're worried about going out, making a team, and providing for their family. They don't really care if the national anthem's played. They don't care what happens. You know, when in reality they should be cared about some other issues besides that, but they don't, right? They want to make the team and be successful and make millions of dollars playing a game.
That's right.
That's what it is. They need to get back to that. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. They've got a great offer that we heard from Lewis, the owner there, earlier on, and this is fabulous. You can get the Absolute Advantage membership all week long, all the way to Saturday, All, and that's a $329 offer. It's free. All you have to do is text KLZ and your name to the following number, 720-381-1767. You can look up on their website all of the Advantage membership and what it does, but bottom line, gives you priority service, 10% off of all service items, and a host of other items. So again, KLZ and your name, text it to 720-381-1767.
Call for an AC estimate? Get only an AC estimate. Anytime an HVAC technician tries to upsell you during your estimate, that's not a technician. That's a salesperson. You watch. Later on, a completely different person will come over to install your unit. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air will not send a salesperson to your house. Your first appointment will be with the technician who installs the unit. Their goal is to give you the service you called for, not convince you to spend more money. The entire team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air meets for training every Tuesday, and they hear the same message each week. Their job is to make the customer's home more comfortable. You called because you wanted cooler, cleaner air in your house. So that's what you'll get. Your Absolute Electrical Heating and Air technician will give you three pricing options for the only service you requested: air conditioning. Call 720-526-0231 now and get what you called for.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Greg with Open Range Services said, "With all the things I have to worry about in a day, it's nice not to have to worry about this complex beast of a machine outside my office. BES has done a great job of maintaining it for us, and we use the heck out of it. I have had some not-so-fun experiences with office machine maintenance companies in the past. Thanks for giving me one less thing to worry about." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance, but you haven't set aside the time.
What if you haven't reviewed your home insurance in 15 years? And 15 years ago, it cost $200,000 to rebuild your home in the event of a total loss, and now it costs $500,000.
As an insurance broker, GIA compares plans from many different insurance companies, shopping the entire market for the right coverage at the best price.
So really, it's a win-win because you don't pay any more in premium and you don't pay any fees, and we do all this legwork for you.
Listen to We've Got You Covered with Paul Lenigro, owner of Group Insurance Analysts, Wednesday at noon only on KLZ 560.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, my son Richard Rush. Richard, you drove something recently. Actually, we both did that I want to talk about for a moment. I didn't get a chance to talk about it this past week on Drive Radio, and I meant to, so let's talk about it real quick. Actually, I got a couple of vehicles we might be able to squeeze in here, but let's talk about the CHR, the Toyota, to begin with.
Yeah, so this is a car that they released a few years ago, Dad, to kind of be in that subcompact kind of, I guess, utility vehicle market, and it's really kind of a creative vehicle in that, and I will say this, it is not for full-size families, right? So if you've got a family of four, maybe, with some kids in car seats, you're probably going to be okay. Even with some kids in boosters, you might be okay.
Right.
But you're also not going to get a ton of cargo in it. So this is for city driving, you know, maybe two people, you know, if you're single, whatever it might be, but you still want, you know, kind of an SUV profile, although the downside is no all-wheel drive option, front-wheel drive only, which for here in Colorado, Dad, most of the time is sufficient, right, for what we're doing. So just to, you know, just kind of want to say that off the bat. The other thing that's new this year is what actually the car we drove, which is the Nightshade Edition, which has similar features to the XLE. We're not going to go over all those now. You can check those out on Toyota's website. But that gives you black 18-inch alloy wheels, a black spoiler and badges, available two-tone paint with a black roof, and black interior trim. So just kind of gives up. It's more of a, you know, again, as it sounds, right, kind of a blacked out sort of a package.
Right.
In that regard,
makes it look
and
a little bit sportier.
It does, and so it drives, you know, drives nice, gets relatively good fuel economy, has the CVT transmission, a sporty vehicle. But let's be honest, it's not a speed demon by any means, is it?
Right. No.
That's
probably putting it mildly. No, it's not a speed demon by any means.
right? It's a vehicle that's meant to get you from point A to point B. It will do it, you know, safely. It does have a lot of the driver aids that a lot of these companies are putting now on them, especially Toyota as part of their, I think, Safety Sense 2.0 mm-hmm. technology. And so they're getting better and better. And again, overall, very pleased with the car, the drivability, all of those different factors. And like I said, it's a nice car. It compares very, very competitively in that segment. And I believe the one that we drove, Dad, even with this Nightshade trim level, was $25,000.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad deal. I mean, it is an entry-level, you know, SUV. It's a nice car. You know, again, everything you just said, very true. My biggest disappointment with it is I wish it had more power. It's a little lack of power, especially with the CVT transmission at our altitude. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and again, and that's the downside to CVTs, and they have made enhancements on CVTs, so folks don't necessarily be scared just because you see CVT, because I know some of the early right. ones were not great. We were talking to a family member this past weekend. If they've got someone that's interested in buying an earlier CVT model, they've gotten a lot better. However, again, don't buy this car thinking it's going to be this super, you know, right. speedy vehicle, whatever it might be. This is what you would come to expect as far as a great first car, maybe on your own, whatever it is. It's going to run for a long time as long as you do your basic maintenance. And Toyota's done a great job on the styling, Dad. So right. I'm overall impressed with it.
Yep, agree.
I like it. I'm pleased with the vehicle. And I think that they've done a great job. So if folks like it, they can head to their local Toyota dealer, check it out, test drive it, as we always recommend, right, Dad?
Yep.
We really impress upon people, get out there and drive these cars, because what we say, you may think complete opposite.
Right.
You may hate a car that we love, or you may love a car that we hate,
right?
You know, vice versa, or whatever it is. And so, again, check it out. When you do, let them know that John and Richard Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio sent you.
All right, Richard, I'll let you go. I know you got a lot going on with moving and everything else you got going on, so I'll let you go. I'll take another call real quick before we go to commercial. So thanks.
Thanks. See ya.
All right, have a great week. I appreciate it very much. Mike and Parker, like I said, we got a couple of minutes before break. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I get real confused when people call in and they, you know, and I hear this all the time that America is the greatest country in the world. And I can't agree with that statement. If you go back to 1957, I have a list of 20 things that made America the greatest country in the world. You know, from life expectancy, median income, freedom, and you know, freedom, liberty index, tallest buildings, most hydro. I mean, there's a whole list of we're number one. And when people say we're number one today, I say based upon what? What is America number one in today?
I would say we still lead in innovation. We still have, for the most part, I know that depends on where you're at and how you want to define it, but, you know, the freedom to travel to and fro, the freedom to start a business, the freedom to make money, the freedom to really do whatever you want to do when it comes to all of that, Mike. Do we have our, you know, our discrepancies and our problems as a country? Absolutely. And do we have a lot of things we need to fix? By all means, we do. But when it comes to the things that we're able to accomplish and the freedoms and the abilities that the, you know, really all Americans, if they want to have it, it's a matter of whether they choose to use them or not.
Okay. And again, I like to quantify, you know, people say a lot of times that say freedom and liberty. There's a freedom and liberty index that got published about.
Yeah. And I understand everything you're going to say. No, we're not as high on that as we should be. But again, at the end of the day, Mike, where else would you go that's any better when it comes to everything I just mentioned a moment ago? I mean, I realize there are countries that have particular areas that might be better than us, but not all in all. Name a country that all in all is better than we are.
Okay. I believe, I guess, quantitatively speaking, Australia.
No, they're, not even close, Mike. Look at what they're doing right now when it comes to COVID and how badly they've botched that. And look at how badly they screwed up their own Second Amendment that they had. No, Australia is not even in the same ballpark as we are. Not even close.
Okay, it depends what you look at.
Mike. No. I know we agree on a lot of things, but you and I are going to have to really disagree on this one, because Australia, again, everything they've botched through COVID, because at one time I would have even given them a higher score like you. Not now. They suck. Big time.
Again, I don't know enough about how Australia botched the COVID.
Oh, it's awful, Mike. But they have shut everything down completely. They haven't allowed herd immunity to come through. It's awful. They've now shut everything down again. If you're a merchant in Australia, you have to be on the edge of bankruptcy, if not broke already.
Okay, Okay, and that's a good point you bring up. But yet we're ranked 27th in the world in median income now, or median wealth.
And you know what, though, Mike, real quick, I want to stop you there real quick, and I know I only got 20 seconds, so let me explain it this way. That's our own fault. We have a lot of lazy Americans that are on the system that don't go out and do what they need to do. And you know the folks that I'm talking about. You, fortunately, are not one of them, by the way. You're a hard worker. You know what it's like to actually go out and work for the American dream and make something happen. I firmly believe the reason we're so far down on that is because of all of our crappy social programs. And I got Mike, I got to run. I got to leave it at that because I'm up against a break. Bruce Simmons is up next, folks. And Mike, I'd love to chat about that more. Maybe later in today's program we can do that, or even tomorrow, because that's a great topic. But Bruce Simmons, by the way, if you'd like to take some of that equity that you're sitting on top of, you're 62 years of age or older, call him today for a reverse mortgage. 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, real quick in closing, and Mike, again, love you, appreciate your calls very much. And what I will say too, when it comes to some of those indexes that were published prior to COVID, all of those need redone post-COVID, because I guarantee you those Liberty indexes and medium income indexes and everything else that's out there when it comes to those quote-unquote indexes have had to have changed since COVID. The example I gave a moment ago with Australia and how badly they've botched COVID and what it would be like to live there now, it's awful. Just go look it up, folks. So, again, we'll talk more about that in the coming days ahead. Don't worry. We'll get around to that. Don't worry one bit. We will get to that, I guarantee you. Up next, Kurt Rogers will join us on our Monday Mortgage Minute. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.